year ago, Wisconsin policymakers were worried that the pandemic would wreck the state's finances and force deep spending cuts. But here we are with more money potentially available than during any budget cycle in recent memory. A report from the legislature's nonpartisan budget office shows that tax revenues are projected to grow by an extra $4.4 billion. As lawmakers work to hammer out a budget for the next couple of years, they're weighing in on what should be done with the money. Republicans who control the legislature say they want to put it toward tax cuts. Governor Evers and fellow Democrats say they want to use it to fund schools, broadband, and other priorities. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see the state do with the projected bump in income? Is it time to change the tax code, ultimately cutting taxes, or use it as an investment in K-12 schools, broadband, and more? Some of all of the above? Do you think Republicans and Democrats can find common ground? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Sean Johnson starts us off, WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Welcome back, Sean.
Hey, Rob.
Now, this is a projection. Nobody's showing up at the Capitol with, you know, big bags with dollar signs adding up to $4.4 billion. What goes into a projection like this?
Well, it is definitely like partly a projection, but it's also, in this case, based on some real numbers of tax collections that the state has seen this year. So, you know, the state weighs those actual tax collections that have happened and also looks at, a long-range report on the national economy, put out by a firm that does this for other states, and then uses the best knowledge that they have to say what this means for, you know, Wisconsin's budget situation. When Wisconsin's budget director, Bob Lang, the director of the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, looked back at tax collections for this year in April and May, he said they were unprecedented. And I mean, Bob Lang is somebody who does not speak in hyperbole and has been in the budget office forever. So for him to describe what we're going through right now in those terms gives you some idea of how much revenue the state is taking in and is projected to take in.
What happened? We were worried, of course, about a lot of things last spring, including state revenues. How do we go from dire to, hey, looking pretty good, to, wow, unprecedented?
Yeah, I mean, a year ago, there was some thought that there were going to have to be very deep cuts in state government this budget cycle. I mean, the governor did, over a couple periods, order some temporary cuts to state agencies to, you know, they're called lapses, where those agencies had to give a certain amount of money back to the general fund just to keep the general fund solvent. And what happened is that the economy, you know, bounced back. And even in January of this year, there were revenue estimates out from the Fiscal Bureau that were really good. You know, back then the Fiscal Bureau was saying that by June 30th of this year, which is the end of the current two-year budget, state was going to have a balance of $1.9 billion, which is excellent. And then now in this latest report from the Fiscal Bureau, you're looking at the end of this fiscal year, so the end of this month, $2.6 billion. And that doesn't speak for what you'd have going forward in the next two-year budget. So I just can't overstate how much money is available to the state, given what, you know, lawmakers are typically looking at working with when it comes to a budget.
Okay, Democratic governor, Republican-led legislature, what are we hearing from both of those parties on what they want to do with this surplus?
Yeah, so they fight a lot, Rob, and believe it or not,
wait, really?
More money, more money than ever before.
More problems?
It does lead to more problems. And I mean, I don't know how they're going to resolve things, but they didn't start off on the same page. Governor Evers' administration's basic take, what you hear from Democrats, is with all this money, there's really no excuse to not fund schools. And I mean, the Republican budget thus far, what they passed in the budget committee, gave a $128 million increase in state funds to school at a time when, you know, there's just billions of dollars in the bank, basically. The Republican take is, this is not going to happen again, and that this is a time for once-in-a-generation tax, you know, reform is the way that they described it. Senator Dale Coinga, who's on the Budget Committee, talk about getting rid of entire tax brackets. He's been a big advocate over the years for getting rid of Wisconsin's progressive income tax system to have a flat tax. So obviously, that is not where the governor is looking right now. The governor is saying, fund my budget, basically, pay for my priorities. Republicans are saying, no, this is a chance to do what we want. It's a big, big tax cut.
Sean, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. Now for more on how the projected tax revenues might affect current budget negotiations, we've got Arnold Schober with us, professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton. His areas of expertise include public policy and state and federal government. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What, if anything, should the state do with this projected surplus? Arnold Schober, thanks for joining us again.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, we heard unprecedented words like that. Is this a big deal, these new revenue projections?
Yes, they are. And they are here in Wisconsin. I mean, they're looking at close to $5 billion at the end of the biennium, so not this year, but going forward, which is a record high even when you take into account inflation. So the amount of money that's sloshing around, so to speak, is indeed unprecedented. And I should note, it's not just Wisconsin. And so while Wisconsin's economy has bounced back much better than many people have thought, many other states have too. So the United States, right, as the world, had a huge economic shock, but it wasn't as long-lasting or perhaps even as structural as many people had feared last year or even last fall.
So let's look at the options on the table, as Sean Johnson just laid out. Republicans, first of all, proposing tax cuts. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says a once-in-a-generation opportunity, as other state legislators have on the Republican side of things. What do you make of the calls for tax cuts from legislative Republicans?
Well, one of the things that will be interesting to watch and perhaps would happen with a different Democratic governor and a different Republican legislature is that they could, in fact, split the difference here. Most of the projected increases come from three big categories, from sales taxes, which is you and I spending money, and then a huge chunk from personal income taxes. And so this projected revenue increase is people making income. And so for the Republicans to say we want a tax cut, well, they're looking at this projection saying, look, this money is coming from income taxes. It's more money than we're expecting, more money than we know what to do with right now. Let's return it. And to finish my third one, the third one is corporate taxes, which is smaller than the other two categories. But so the Republicans can say, look, we're getting this money and we're getting it from people's paycheck. This extra money isn't coming from the feds. There's another line item with all that money coming in. Why not return it to the people who are working here in Wisconsin? Tony Evers, the governor, would say, look, this is likewise an opportunity to use those taxes for things that would benefit people in Wisconsin that in a normal year, in a normal budget cycle, we couldn't fund or we couldn't think about funding. And maybe we should think about, to use the Republicans' word, some structural changes to how other programs are run in the state, whether that be state education or the UW system or even how the roads are funded here in the state.
Well, now I think there's some precedent here, Arnold, flipping the sides around. Republican governor Tommy Thompson, Democratic-led legislature. Democrats wanted some spending increases. The governor wanted some tax cuts. There was a good budget cycle. They did some of both. I mean, is there, apart from my personal animosity and partisanship, is there any reason they couldn't do both?
No, there is none. I mean, with this amount of money, they could easily do both. Maybe the tax cut wouldn't be as big as Republicans wanted, and maybe Governor Evers wouldn't get all of the money, and Democrats in the legislature wouldn't get all the money they wanted for exactly the programs they want, but there is no way. One of the interesting things from a political science point of view is that typically when there's a lot of money available, parties are much more willing to compromise. If you look at, to reach back even further than Tommy Thompson, if you look at the 1960s in American politics, the federal government and state budgets were largely flush, and this is a time when lots of new government programs come into effect. Whether for good or ill is a different discussion, but Republicans and Democrats found a way to do it because, you know what? No one's actually hurting that much because there's so much money coming in already. And so today we can look at this and say, yes, we can do this. We can set aside some of those personal, that personal animosity that's very clear in our particular case. And say we can get some of both. It's possible. Tommy Thompson could do it. Evers could. The Republicans in the legislature could. If they decided, if they put their mind to it, it would certainly not be out of the realm of possibility. And quite frankly, they wouldn't lose many political points for doing it because they'd both get something that their voters wanted.
Is there a risk? What if you make big ongoing changes when you've got this sweet surplus year, whether that's big tax cuts or big annual spending commitments, lean times will come again. Do we end up putting ourselves in positions of structural deficits if we make big changes now?
Wisconsin has a lot of experience with structural deficits, despite looking like it had a balanced budget. That is largely, well, won't speak too soon on that one. That's largely been taken care of, but nevertheless, it is a risk. One of the things to watch this year with many of these estimates is ones that compare year to year over year growth. Last April, right? Last May essentially was zero. And so anything this year, comparing this year to last year, is going to look super delightful because last year's economy was, at least in the early part of the year, was not very good. But because this revenue growth is likely not to last indefinitely, maybe not even to the end of this year, as things come back, as people come back to work, as the economy kind of recovers from all the supply chain jolts that it has suffered, that the growth will taper off. And we may still have a good economy, but it won't be growing. And that does set up the state and the feds, right, for a difficulty if the money kind of contracts or doesn't grow as they expect. Then we'll be looking at kind of rolling back tax cuts, I should say, or cutting funding to programs. And that is, it's difficult for politicians of all stripes to be disciplined that way because they're elected on fairly short terms. I've got a 2-year term, a 4-year term, right? I want to spend the money. I want to do the tax cut now. I don't really care what happens in 5 or 10 years because I'm out of the picture. Some other legislator will have to deal with that. So that is a risk. It's one that they're aware of, but the political calculus really weighs against taking it too seriously.
We're taking a look at the state's financial picture after a government report this week projected that revenues would be up an estimated $4.4 billion. State Republicans say that should fund tax cuts. Governor Evers and Democrats say they want it to go toward education and other priorities. Arnold Schober is with us, professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton. You could join in with your thoughts on what, if anything, should be done with that revenue boost. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Chris is with us in Milwaukee. Chris, hi.
Hi. First of all, one big reason there's a surplus is because when you give money to regular people like they did over the last year, regular taxes get paid as opposed to giving money to billionaires who don't pay taxes. So, you know, seriously, let's fix all the problems that real people have, like the schools, the parks, broadband, roads, some other lead pipes, lead everything, or we could give tax cuts. The richer you are, the bigger your house, the more you should get. I don't know. It's a choice. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Chris, thanks for the call. Chris, first of all, Arnold points to the impact of some of the government relief stuff that came out over the last year during the pandemic. And I know some of the experts are saying, yeah, that's part of why we're seeing this revenue increase here in the state. How big a part of that is this?
Well, there it is. It's unquestionable that the stimulus checks, the relief checks that the federal government sent out across the country did give people extra spending money at a time that some of them dearly needed it. Critics said it went to everyone, so some people who got it didn't really need it. But regardless, that was a part. One thing I'd point to is that the New York Federal Reserve, so one of the Federal Reserve banks, did a survey of how people were spending them, those checks, and almost three-quarters of the money was being used to spend down debt, so credit cards, or being put in savings accounts. So while that was a boost, especially to the sales taxes, right, that wasn't the whole picture here. There's other things going on. The economy is revving up. People are working again, bringing in income above and beyond those stimulus checks. It is certainly true that those stimulus checks helped with this outlook, although, right, those checks are now gone, they're cashed, and so they're not going to have a repeat effect.
And then Chris also brought up kind of who gets taxed, who pays the taxes. That's a big part of the story in the responses here. Governor Evers' original budget proposal includes rolling back a tax passed in the previous administration on agriculture and manufacturing that helped wealthier people more, I think, is the consensus on that. But we heard from some Republican state lawmakers saying, hey, let's get rid of the progressive tax system, go to more of a flat tax in Wisconsin. So I guess who pays the disproportionate burden of taxes in Wisconsin, Arnold?
That is a political question. Who actually, it's called tax incidence is the fancy term for that, and it's very difficult to tell. Folks on the right will argue things like taxes on corporations. They would say that's double taxation for a variety of reasons. Others would say no, they make money, they use services of the state, those corporations as individuals, as the law sees them, should pay for some of that. So it's hard to say who actually pays the taxes and how many of those taxes are just passed on to consumers, if we're thinking about those kind of corporate taxes. But one of the things to think about is that the sale of all of the taxes we have in this state, the sales tax is the one that is felt most directly by ordinary people because they see it on their receipt. And we also know that sales taxes, kind of lower income Wisconsinites pay more of their income in sales taxes than upper income. So if you want to think about that, sales taxes would be the one that you would cut there. While you might think about kind of tax changes, flat taxes versus progressive, flat taxes are also tend to weigh a little heavier on the lower end of the income scale, although many states around the country use flat taxes. They're very simple to administer, and they aren't subject to the same kind of gaming of tax brackets that progressive systems have, like Wisconsin. Progressive systems, though, have the sense that if you make more money, you should pay more money, more percentage of your income into the system because you can afford it. It's not as important to you. You have enough money for basic necessities and then some, you should add more. So that debate is one that's kind of charged with ideology, and it has been for 50 years, if not longer. And I'm not surprised to see that come up. Flat taxes are simple. People think intuitively it sounds great because the tax code is incredibly complicated. But on the other hand, who pays that is not always as clear, although it seems that upper-income individuals would probably do better under a flat tax than under a progressive scheme.
Thanks for the call, Chris. We'll go to Bill now in Superior. Bill, hi.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Say, this is kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing in the long run because everybody thought that they got all this free money and extra money with this big bump in unemployment. Everybody's going to get taxed for it eventually, and all this extra money is based off of the projections, and a lot of it has to come from income tax. People just don't realize that it's going to end up hurting us. The Republicans are right. We need the tax cut.
Bill, thanks for the call. What do you think?
Yeah, so one point that Bill brought up there was that the money that the federal government, for example, is sending to the state government of Wisconsin, or President Biden is proposing in some of his bills in D.C., does have to come from somewhere. It's not like the Treasury can just print money and send it out. So it does come from tax revenues from someone. Who, again, is a question? Is it folks with income taxes? Is it transferring money from folks, from upper-income folks who could stand a few more taxes to lower-income folks? Is it decreasing economic output or decreasing hiring, which would hurt folks on the lower end, typically, because the lower wage workers are often the first to go. And so he's right in that the money is coming from somewhere. Someone has to pay for this. The Democrats typically have bet that overall more people will benefit from slightly higher taxes because they can shuffle money around to programs that they think will help. Republicans have typically said that if you let businesses have a freer hand with their money, they will generate economic growth to hire those people, so they'll get their money that way instead.
Thanks for that call, and Arnold, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Arnold Schober is a professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton. We talked to him about the state's projected $4.4 billion bump in revenues. Earlier, we heard from WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson.